It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show as the Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Vegas 29-13-3, 61 points. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock in Chicago against the Blackhawks. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, it was obviously a better start for Vegas, but second period, things shifted, and obviously the Carolina Hurricanes, they kind of got to their game. Was the penalty shot, in your eyes, the turning point in this one?
It sure felt like it, and whether that is directly the cause or just a coincidence with respect to timing, you get a penalty shot, it means that the Golden Knights got a breakaway and the other team had to commit a penalty in order to prevent a good scoring chance. So that, you know, was just a continuation of what the Knights had been doing to start the second period. And Gary said it, you know, maybe it takes some wind out of the Golden Knights' sails, but at the same time, it really bolsters and perhaps steadies the confidence of the Hurricanes, and certainly bolsters the confidence of Pyotr Kochetkov, who had been fine to that point, but I think, and he is now 3-for-3 in his penalty shot career, by the way. Circumstance seems to favor the goalies increasingly, as we've talked about. Shooters are 2 out of 14 in the NHL this year. I think that was, just imagine if instead of a penalty shot there, Vegas is on a power play, and no disrespect to Keegan Kolesar, but he'd not be involved in that. It would be the regular guys, and Vegas had already 2 power plays in the first period. They ended up scoring on their 3rd power play later in the game. So who knows, maybe they get a power play, they score a goal, and they're up 2-0, but instead, it does give the confidence to the Hurricanes, and that's what happens in games. Carolina's a very good team, had a very good start this year. They're extremely well coached. Rod Brindamore is about as good as it gets in the last 7 years that the Knights have existed. So not surprised that the Hurricanes found their game, and that it was Seth Jarvis who has been the one hot forward for this team. A lot of the other guys have fallen off, but I think to answer your question, whether you look at it from the Vegas point of view or perhaps more importantly, the Carolina point of view, that penalty shot and the save by Kochetkov was a significant moment in this game.
Yeah, it's certainly a confidence booster, as you mentioned, for Pyotr Kochetkov and the Carolina Hurricanes. All teams go through stretches like this. Golden Knights have lost 4 out of their last 5 games. Like, it's going to happen over the course of an 82-game season. I guess the question is for Vegas, because it's been different things at different times. How do they pull themselves out of this?
Yeah, play the worst team in the NHL. That could be one solution. They don't have the best record against the Eastern Conference. We know that the Islanders and the Rangers having come to town and beating the Knights 4-0 and 2-1. And now, of course, here you've got another Eastern Conference opponent that has defeated you, and Carolina winning both this year and now 4 in a row against the Knights going back a couple years. It seems to me that the Knights could have one of those feel-good days where they score a bunch of goals. Now, they scored 4 against Minnesota, and they played well in that game. But it was still without the full group. Remember, Jack Eichel was ill, so it wasn't the full complement. I do wonder, does Bruce go back with the same group here today? Because maybe if you have a good day against Chicago, it gives everybody some confidence in what they believe is the best lineup, or do you say, hey, this group is it's just not quite the right mixture, we've got to move some things around? So do you, I don't want to say overreact, but do you need to push some buttons going into the game tomorrow? It is back-to-back, you do have travel involved, the Blackhawks are there and waiting. I'm not sure, and when you have a stretch like this, you expect your stars to help you out of it, and obviously Hurdle would be expected to be an offensive contributor this year, no doubt, and he does have 32 points now. But when you think about the offensive stars, it starts with Jack Eichel, who did have an assist today, but he has not been putting the puck in the back of the net. He's trying to, and I think that just you can see that if it starts going for Jack, maybe he gets on one of those heaters again, and maybe it would take the Chicago Blackhawks to do it. But, I don't want to chalk it up to an automatic victory. Clearly, Chicago has won games. It's not like they lose every night. This is not the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals.
Now, you know, you kind of asked Gary the question, and you're talking about potentially changing up the lineup. But I guess the question that I have is from a line combination standpoint, like offensively, it has not been going to the rate that it used to, or to the rate that it was earlier on in the season for the Golden Knights. Do you think that there's a shakeup that makes sense, or a tweak that makes sense to maybe pull a little bit more offense out of this group?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that sometimes, even if it's just for a stretch in a game, mm-hmm. that you'd move some players around. And Bruce has his duos and guys that he likes to put together. You know, how you find, you know, the spark to get some guys going. You know, for Dorofeev, you know, you put him back on the power play, he scores 5 goals in 2 games. You know, mm-hmm. find a similar spark for some other guys. And sometimes you play with the right line mates. You know, Victor Olofsson has 3 assists in the last 2 games playing with Dorofeev and Hertl. You know, you'd love to see Carlson get going. You'd love to see both Eichel and Carlson score some more goals. It's as simple as that. And I am of the feeling that perhaps some of the Knights' offense in the early part of the season was, as much as anything, more pucks go in early in the season. And mm-hmm. as the year goes along, teams are better checking. The save percentages go up. And other teams have figured out, you know, how to defend against a certain style of Golden Knights play. While, yeah, you'd love to see Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone produce at the clip that they had at the beginning of the year, Bruce Cassidy has to be ready to move those players around. If, again, for no other reason, it just provides a spark to some other guys. They're not playing poorly, but you just expect more from those guys, more production than what we've seen since Barbashev has returned. And again, I know Eichel was out for a game with an illness. But then again, as I say, maybe if you, considering who the opponent is, you put those guys out there and you hope that it gets them in gear, given the opponent. But if it's not, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, give this group a period. See, yeah. The lineup that we saw today, give them a period. And if they go and they score a couple of goals in the first period, all right, let them keep going. But if they have another period where they don't score, you know, it might be time for Bruce to push a couple of buttons. Again, depending on how things unfold tomorrow. But as Will Carlson said, at the very least, the way that the team looked in the first period today was totally different than what we saw 2 nights ago. And, you know, you take the good with the bad. It's no one wants to hear it when you lose a game. But it's a long season, and you have to be pleased with the return to form, so to speak, even though they only scored 2 goals. You know, that's going to happen sometimes. They played much, much better than they did 3 nights ago in Nashville.
All right, great stuff as always, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Great, thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 3-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Vegas 29-13-3, 61 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock in Chicago against the Blackhawks. It's the final game of a 3-game road trip for the Golden Knights, and they are looking to get a victory and take 2 points out of the 6 that were available on this 3-game road trip. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC. Actually, we'll take a break from that. Go to head coach Bruce Cassidy right now.
Or what do you feel hurt you the most after that?
The start was excellent. They pushed back in the second, so it was a little bit of, we were better in the first, they were better in the second. We got on the wrong side of the line change, kind of get it out, line change, and they're right back at us, right? So that's their game, pucks to the net. So that's what happened in the second. We end up spending a lot of time blocking shots or boxing out. Eventually they got one. They got inside our D, and it's tough to do that for probably 15 minutes in your own end, boxing out. You're going to lose some battles, and we did. But, you know, with the third, things are getting magnified, the mistakes we make, right, because we're not scoring enough to overcome them, and it's tough puck luck for Hanny. It's an own goal. He's trying to break up a play, and we're not getting that at the other end. But the third goal is the one that we took ourselves out of the game a bit. It was We had an opportunity to get a puck to the net with traffic. You know, we overpass, which we've been doing a little bit. D gets stuck down there. Our high forward doesn't recognize there's two behind him. We don't defend the two-on-one, and so it's in the net, right? Now it's tough. I think we would have been fine if we just settled down and got back to our game. So that kind of goal was probably what gave them a lot of life and took a lot out of us.
What made that too many men penalty late tough to swallow?
Well, another detail, right? Little thing that, I mean, we all felt that Hilly was at the bench. The guy's going, right? We're going no matter what unit's up, we're going. We got a minute and a half, and so Ole was gone. It was just too late to grab him. I don't know if Hilly thought we're coming back with the puck. I don't know. We'd have to ask him. I just felt he was close enough to the bench we could send our guy. It didn't work out that way.
How do you want to see your team get out of the stretch?
Well, we're not scoring at the level we were, so we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, why not? And some guys we rely on, right? I mean, the rush game was going great, say, for Eichel's line early on, Barbie Stoney, right? And now teams have shut some of that down. They've got to find a way to score in offensive zone play, right? Power play got us a goal. Jack has a good look shorthanded. But that's their challenge right now. And some other guys that we rely on to score haven't for a while. So the defense has to be good, and I think it has been for the most part. I don't think we're terrible defensively. This game, again, I think we'll look at the analytics and see we were fine. And they just put one in our own net, right? So that's probably that ends up being the difference in the game a little bit. So, but we do have to start getting some of those goals to go our way by playing that type of game a little more, where we're going to the net and looking for second chances. I think Hurdle's line started to do that, and they're going really well. I mean, they're attack mentality, shot mentality. Now, that's the year, right? Some lines get going and have these runs and where others, but we need a few of the other lines to pick us up here and there.
What can the coaching staff do during a stretch like this to help support the group?
Well, we're supporting the group. We're a first-place team. I'm not down on anybody. I don't like to lose, and it seems like we're this close to winning every night, so that's a little bit of adversity. We practiced some stuff yesterday that I thought was relevant to the game today, and I thought it showed in the first period. Some of the video we do is typically positive anyway, Gary, for the most part. There's always teaching moments. We'll talk to them about what we're doing well, because there are a lot of things we're doing well, and hopefully it translates tomorrow. That's it. We got another one. I have a lot of time to think about this one.
Alex could have, should have, would have, but if Coley can score on that penalty shot, it gives you a little breathing room anyway.
Extend the lead, right? That's what you got to do in those close games. And again, that's the scoring thing, right? I mean, Carley had a chance at the end of the first period. He's in all alone. Coley has won a penalty shot, Stoney late to tie it. So, again, to go back to the looks are there. And guys want to score. It's not like they're going in there not trying to score. It's not going in for us a little bit now. So how are we one goal against better or one goal for better? That's kind of what's separating us from winning and losing right now. And that's the Ranger game, that's Nashville, and that's today. Now, they all had different stories, but at the end of the day, that's what it is right now. We're one goal difference where the other team's making one more play than we are, whether it's a save or finishing a play. And that's the stretch we're in right now. So we've got to make that extra play the next game, and that's tomorrow against Chicago.
Thank you, Bruce.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 3-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. You kind of heard it from Bruce there. There are areas in the game where the Golden Knights are playing well. Defensively, they're not giving up a ton of really quality chances, and you kind of go through the goals that Carolina was able to score. They were secondary efforts in front of the net. It's an unlucky break on the Jackson Blake goal. But outside of that, it's one more play. And that's kind of what it's been for the Golden Knights of late. It's just been in these moments, in these games, where everything kind of gets heightened a little bit. Whereas earlier on in the season, the Golden Knights were making those extra plays. Right now, it just seems like that's not happening for Vegas. The post-game injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Everyone's healthy. That's the good news for Vegas. So it means you've got extra players that you could utilize if you're Bruce Cassidy going into this back-to-back scenario, back-to-back situation in Chicago tomorrow. Does Ben Hutton draw into the lineup? Does Caden Korzak draw into the lineup? And Alexander Holtz, who was out tonight, does he draw back into the lineup for Cole Schwindt? Or are there changes, tweaks to the line combinations for the Vegas Golden Knights going into that game against Chicago to try to squeeze more offense out of this group and get the Golden Knights kind of back to a clip where, you know, it's not 4.5 goals per game or 4 goals per game, but when Vegas scores 3 or more, they're a pretty good team and pretty hard to beat in this so far this season. So that's kind of the benchmark that you're looking for if you're Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. And, you know, nothing showing for Vegas in the first period, even though they outshot the Carolina Hurricanes 13-7 in that first period. They were unable to solve Pyotr Korchetkov until the second period, when the Golden Knights opened the scoring as Tomáš Hertl cut to the inside and roofed a backhander.
Forward pass intercepted at center by Olofsson. Works across the line with Hertl to the fourth man. Petrangelo's pass knocked down. Hertl scores! Tomáš Hertl on the backhand, just under the crossbar. Found a deflected puck after an attempted pass. The Knights score in transition, and they have a 1-0 lead 4 minutes into the second.
Tomáš Hertl's 13th goal of the year from Alex Petrangelo and Victor Olofsson, 4:22 of the second period, made it 1-0 Vegas. But later in the period, the Hurricanes tied the game after Seth Jarvis won a battle in front of the net and chipped a shot by Aiden Hill.
It's a right point try by Slavin. In front, they score! Carolina has tied it with a trickling puck out in front for Seth Jarvis. He flips it home to tie the game. 8 minutes to go in the second period.
Seth Jarvis from Jordan Martinook and Jacob Slavin, 11:57 of the second period, tied the game at one. But Aiden Hill kept the game tied late in the period with a big save on Sebastian Aho.
Too many Hurricanes down low. McNabb swings and misses at a bouncing puck. Comes ahead for Carolina. Here's Aho to the middle. Hill the save, and he stops the rebound. Collision as McNabb is decked into the crossbar.
So thanks to that save from Aiden Hill, we'd head to the third period all tied up at one, and the Hurricanes took the lead less than a minute into the third period when Jackson Blake's centering pass deflected off Noah Hanifin and in.
Skates ahead across the red, across the blue, left wing. Backhand centering pass tipped in, and Carolina takes the lead. And the Hurricanes have struck in the first minute of the third to take a 2-1 lead.
10th goal of the year for Jackson Blake from Andrei Svechnikov and Dmitry Orlov. 46 seconds into the third period, made it 2-1 Carolina. Then the Hurricanes extended their lead 5 minutes later when Seth Jarvis finished off a 2-on-1.
Knights making a couple extra passes looking for the perfect opening. They couldn't get a shot at the other end. They score! Seth Jarvis, and it's 3-1 Carolina.
15th goal of the year, second of the night for Seth Jarvis from Jordan Staal and Jordan Martinook. 6:09 of the third period, made it 3-1 Carolina. However, the Golden Knights did get back to within a goal on Shea Theodore's power play goal.
Theodore to the right, Dorofia. Top of the right circle, nowhere to shoot. Theodore with a wrist shot, they score! Shea Theodore hits the bar, and the Knights strike on the power play. Now trailing 3-2 with 10 minutes to go in the third.
Fifth goal of the year for Shea Theodore on the power play from Pavel Dorofiev and Jack Eichel. 9:52 of the third period cut the Carolina lead to 3-2. The Golden Knights would pull Aiden Hill. He'd go back in. They try to pull him again. They'd get called for too many men on the ice. It was 5-on-5 with Aiden pulled late in this game as the Golden Knights staged a comeback attempt. But Korchetkov made some big saves down the stretch, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
From the draw, Carolina gets control. The clear goes all the way down. This one is over. Carolina 3, Vegas 2.
There you have it, 3-2 the final. The Carolina Hurricanes defeat the Vegas Golden Knights, sweep the season series against Vegas. The Golden Knights are 29-13-3, 61 points on the year, and next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock puck drop in Chicago against the Blackhawks. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Watch tomorrow's game with your fellow VGK fans at the official watch party at Great American Pub on Eastern Avenue. You'll find Golden Knights cast and giveaways as the team takes on Chicago at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's at Great American Pub, 9310 Eastern Avenue. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Vegas 29-13-3. 61 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock in Chicago against the Blackhawks. And for the Golden Knights, it's kind of new territory for this season anyway. Now, it's not necessarily new territory. The month of January historically has been a month where, you know, the rate of play, at least the rate of wins and losses, hasn't been there for the Golden Knights compared to what they've been able to put up in, say, December or November. Certainly, it's been great starts for Vegas. January is where things kind of level out a little bit, and you want to try as best you can to minimize that level out period. You want to minimize this flat spot if you're the Golden Knights, right? And, you know, when you think about it and you look at where Vegas is right now, still in that top spot in the Pacific Division, but the lead in terms of points isn't there anymore. Both Vegas and Edmonton, the exact same record through 45 games. Vegas 29-13-3, Edmonton 29-13-3. So in that scenario, you've got company at the top of the Pacific Division if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. That's the margins we're dealing with here. And I don't expect the Oilers to go away anytime soon. I don't think the Golden Knights are going to be in a position where, you know, they're going to be able to leave or widen the gap or create that separation from Edmonton. So I think what you're looking at right now, and don't forget or sleep on the Los Angeles Kings either, 55 points in 42 games. Points percentage-wise, they are just right behind Vegas and Edmonton. So it is effectively, for all intents and purposes, a three-team race to see who winds up with the top spot in the Pacific Division. And that is how quickly a 6-point lead, which is what it was for the Golden Knights just about a week and a half ago, a couple of days ago, to evaporate. You know, you've got the Oilers playing great. You've got the Kings continuing to win. And when you drop 4 out of 5 games, it becomes hard to maintain that edge. So for Vegas, it's really important. I mean, really important that they find their game against Chicago tomorrow. And it's not to belabor the point when it comes to the Chicago Blackhawks, but this is an opportunity for the Golden Knights, who more often than not this season have been incredibly good against teams that have been below 500. It's an opportunity to get right in that game, get the offense going, and really gain a little bit of confidence before you go into, again, another tough spot in the schedule. You've got St. Louis coming up next week, home and home with St. Louis. Then you've got Dallas and the Florida Panthers. That's the next handful of games for the Golden Knights. It's not going to get any easier. It's a condensed schedule because of Four Nations Faceoff. Every team is dealing with it. But for the Golden Knights, this is a natural ebb and flow of the season. You have to find a way to pull yourself out of it as quickly and as best as you can. And I am interested to see if when we go into that game tomorrow in Chicago, if there are any tweaks to the lineup for the Vegas Golden Knights, if there's some surprises in terms of what the line combinations might be, if for any other reason, as we talked about with Dan Duva at the top of the program, to just spark something offensively for the Golden Knights to gain that confidence and get them feeling good about where their game is at, again, offensively 5-on-5. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Carolina Hurricanes defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas now 29-13-3. 61 points tied with Edmonton for top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action tomorrow, 5 o'clock in Chicago against the Blackhawks. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. You can also hit us on the text line, but I'd prefer you call in. If you're listening right now, I'm talking to you, I want you to call in. What change would you make? If you're looking at this from 50,000 foot view, the Golden Knights have lost 4 out of their last 5 games. Against the Islanders, they were shut out. They scored 1 goal against the Rangers. They did score 3 against Nashville, but that's Nashville, and it didn't happen until they were down 4-0 in the game, and 2 goals tonight. So offensively, you're looking for a spark. Offensively, you're looking for more out of the Vegas Golden Knights. So I'm asking you, if you're listening right now, to pick up the phone and give me your ideas, give me your thoughts as to what you would tweak, what you would change to get more offense out of this Vegas Golden Knights team right now. Because I think defensively they're fine. I think that there are areas of the game where they've been pretty consistent. Penalty kill tonight was really good. Come through with a power play goal, that's great. But what tweaks or what changes would you like to see or would you make to try to squeeze more offense out of this Vegas Golden Knights team? 702-876-1340, that's the number. We have lines open right now, so if you call in, we're putting you on the air. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, Ryan, I want to weigh in on that, what you just said, and hope that others will come through with some ideas that I'm not going to espouse at this particular moment. But let me say this. You have your first healthy, full lineup of the season, and you haven't had it for more than a few games. Mm-hmm. I think it's dangerous to start tweaking that lineup until you see that you can't win with it. Now, if you do that, you send, I think, the wrong message to the guys that supposedly constitute the best team you can put on the ice. I don't know how others feel about that, but I wouldn't touch a thing at this point.
So you would leave the line combinations exactly as they were tonight?
I absolutely would, if only to build confidence. Now, if you stub your toe against Chicago, you've got to do something, and coach will. But you can't say, hey, we're healthy. This is great. Now we have the team we always hoped for, and then suddenly change it. No, I don't think so. That's how I feel anyway. I also feel very badly about a rule that will never change in my lifetime and probably never will change. When a guy gets tripped up as he's about to shoot basically a runaway goal, like Keegan Kolesar did, in college football, you can commit a penalty 40 yards down the field, and it's a 15-yard penalty. And in basketball, you can commit a foul at center court, and it's not considered a shooting foul unless it's a clear pass foul. So why in hockey is a team allowed to take the second best power play in the game and render it helpless by letting a guy shoot the penalty shot that hasn't ever taken one?
Well, because it's in the rule book that if you're fouled on that infraction and they call a penalty shot, it's a penalty shot.
And if I'm Rob Brindamore, I'm going to say, hey, if you ever get in that position in this game, remember, you're playing the second-best power play team in the NHL. Go ahead and tackle the guy. Make sure he doesn't score.
Yeah, but I mean, there have only been 14 penalty shots so far this season in the National Hockey League. Like, it's not something that's called very often. Now, your frustration at that moment brings up a larger topic conversation where, you know, should teams be able to either send out their own shooter. Like, if you're awarded a penalty shot, should you be able to replace the guy taking the penalty shot? Whether it's any guy on the ice or any guy on the team, like, should that team be able to do that? Or can you, if you have a power play like the Golden Knights coming into the day, they were fourth best in the National Hockey League, do you elect to decline a penalty shot for a power play?
That's what I'm getting at, of course. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect anybody else but you to weigh in on it because you have an intelligent way of looking at things. I do want to hear if anybody's got a different lineup that I'm just not thinking of because I don't know what it would be. As Dan Dubas said at the end of the game, how do you break out of the slump? You play the worst team in hockey. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got to do tomorrow, period.
Well, that's what the Golden Knights do have on the agenda, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. I'm after tweaks, changes, anything you want to see different from the Vegas Golden Knights when they take the ice tomorrow in Chicago. I invite you to call in. If you've never called in before, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you were frustrated by the penalty shot, or if you're in the camp that believes you should have the opportunity to decline a penalty shot to put your power play on the ice, I'd like to hear from you too. Because, you know, you go back historically, like penalty shots, more often than not, were about 45-50% in terms of if you get a penalty shot, it's kind of a coin flip, but 50% of the time, 45% of the time, you'd score. That's not the case this year in the National Hockey League. 2 for 14, that's it. There have only been 14 penalty shots so far this season, but only 2 goals on 14 shots. That's 14%. And if you look at it just from a Golden Knights perspective, the Golden Knights coming into the day on the power play were clicking at about 26.2%. So the numbers would tell you that it is not advantageous at all for the Golden Knights, no matter if it's Keegan Kolesar or Jack Eichel or, you know, Nick Waugh, who's great in penalty shots. The numbers would indicate, based on the league-wide trend, that the percentages were not with the Golden Knights to score in that spot more than they would have had an opportunity with the power play. So if you are on the fence, or not on the fence, but you believe wholeheartedly that if you're looking at a penalty shot, it should be an option. You take the penalty shot or you take the power play. You should elect or get to choose what you want in those spots. I want to hear from you. And again, I want to know tweaks, changes, anything you'd like to see different from the Golden Knights going into the game tomorrow against Chicago. Pick up the phone. Don't send a text in. Pick up the phone, dial the number, and let's have a conversation. 702-876-1340. That's on the other side of the break. The extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Carolina Hurricanes defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 61 points, tied with Edmonton at the top of the Pacific Division. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Charlie. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
What do you got for me?
Except for a loss. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously disappointing in the game, but yeah, as far as the penalty shot goes, I agree. I think you should have the option to either have your best player take that shot or take the two-minute advantage. Now, I don't think it'll ever happen, but that's my own opinion on that subject.
Well, I do wonder if there'll ever be appetite for it. Now, it's so infrequent that you get a penalty shot in a National Hockey League game anyway, but I do wonder that if you continue to see those trends in terms of the percentages, the conversion rates go down, and especially with teams that have power plays operating at 20%, 25%, those scenarios, I do wonder if there'll be appetite to change it in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that, but you know, as a fan, that's just my outlook on it. So,
all right, good
Thanks
stuff, Charlie.
Listening.
Yep, Appreciate the call. Thank you. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. First-time caller. So
awesome.
I have a question that has nothing to do with the subjects you brought up tonight.
Okay.
I want to know about back-to-backs. Do all teams in the league get about the same number of back-to-backs?
I think it's pretty even. I believe the Golden Knights have 13 back-to-backs, which is a lot. That's more than really what I can remember in recent times. That being said, I think with the condensed schedule and the way things kind of work out this year with Four Nations and the two-week break in February, a lot more teams are getting more back-to-backs this year.
Yeah, because I would think that would really, if one team has way more than another team, that would make a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that it's going to be any type of big discrepancy. Like I said, I think all the teams right now are in stretches where they're playing a lot of games, specifically in the month of January, and the only way to get them in is to go with back-to-backs in certain spots.
Okay. All right. Well, that was my question. Just kind of wondering if everybody in the league has to endure about the same number.
Yeah, it's pretty well the same, Paul, and thanks for the call. It's a war of attrition, it really is, and when it comes to an 82-game season, especially with, that two-week break in the middle of February there. 702-876-1340, that's the number. You can talk penalty shots, we can talk power plays, or tweaks you'd like to see for the Golden Knights going into tomorrow's game in Chicago. We have lines open, so pick up the phone, dial the number right now, 702-876-1340. Let's go to Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan. So I got this crazy thought, and just hear me out. Mm-hmm. What if we switch Eichel, William Carmson lines, right? Eichel goes down line number two, Carlson comes up to line one, just for this game. So Carlson gets some of his mojo back, and Eichel knows, hey, I'm not scoring either. I need to step up my game.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Sal. I don't know that I'd like to see that swap in terms of Eichel and Stone, but I do think that you've got to think in terms of pairs, right? So Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev, that's a pair that works. Obviously, Jack Eichel and Mark Stone works as well, but I do wonder if, and this kind of, for me, goes back to the game where Jack Eichel was ill and didn't play against Minnesota. William Carlson was in that spot alongside Mark Stone, and I thought Carlson looked really good. I thought Stone had a really strong game as well. So I do wonder if maybe you look at, for a game or two, moving from Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone to Barbashev and Eichel as the duo. You put another guy up there. I don't know who that would be. And then you go with William Carlson and Mark Stone alongside, I don't know, say a Brett Howden. And that could give you a look that's a little bit different, but might produce a little bit more in terms of offense.
I feel like he's missing something this season. He has the production, he has the hockey IQ and sense, but that production's not there for him this year.
Yeah, it's certainly not been there recently, Sal, and thank you for the call. I think to get him going, like if you're looking at it from that perspective, you wouldn't find better players to surround him with. I do wonder if you're in a position where to get Carlson kind of moving in that direction, you do tweak the line. So we'll see what ends up happening, but I like the idea of making a shift or a change to the top line for the Golden Knights. I just, again, the duo of Barbashev and Eichel, it works so well that I don't know that I want to pull those two guys apart. But I am, and I'm forever going to be curious about the idea of Mark Stone with Pavel Dorofeev and William Carlson. But you don't want to pull Dorofeev away from Hertl and Olofsson because that line right now is going for the Golden Knights as well. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Lewis. Hey, Lewis, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I had a little thing I've been watching with the Knights.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that they've been getting behind. So when they get behind early, maybe the line rotation isn't there because they're like the deepest team in the NHL. And by the third period, and I know they did this before, they're wearing down the teams because they're able to throw, Cassidy's able to throw the four lines out there whenever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter the score. I think that maybe once they start maybe jumping on these teams a little quicker, they can continue that, wear these teams down in the third period since their goal differential is so high, and get back to that. I think they get back to that, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think so too, Lewis, and it's a great point. Like, when you're trailing in a game, you're not rolling four lines. It's just not something that you're going to be able to do because you're trying to double shift maybe a line that's going. So if the Hurdle line's going, they're going to get every second shift. Or you're going to throw Jack Eichel out there with his line every second shift. And so what you're doing is, you know, you're not able to get the fresh legs deep into a game to kind of lean on an opponent and create those opportunities. So you're right on the money. When you're trailing in a game or you're chasing a game, that's what ends up happening. You shorten the bench by virtue of trying to get back in the game, and it takes the Golden Knights out of what they do best, and that's roll four lines, forecheck hard, and really lean on teams deep into games.
Yep, I agree. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate that, Lewis. Thanks so much for the call. 702-876-1340 is the number if you'd like to join us on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. 29-13-3, 61 points. Next in action tomorrow in Chicago against the Blackhawks. 5 o'clock puck drop in that game. 4 o'clock pregame show. I did want to circle back to Paul's question about back-to-backs because I'm looking at it right now. There are 5 teams in the National Hockey League that have 13 back-to-backs, the Golden Knights being one of them. 9 teams have 12 back-to-back scenarios. Then you've got some teams with 14 back-to-backs over the course of this NHL season. Of all 32 teams, there are only 7 that have 11 or less back-to-back games. The team with the fewest back-to-backs this season is Winnipeg. They've got 8. And, you know, if 13 back-to-back seems like a lot to you, and it is, you wouldn't want to be the Carolina Hurricanes, the team the Golden Knights just played tonight, or the Toronto Maple Leafs. Both of those teams, Carolina and Toronto, 16 back-to-backs this season. So the league average is somewhere in that 12 to 14 range, so 13 being kind of the mean, the average there. So 13 back-to-backs, the Golden Knights right kind of smack dab in the middle of what you'd expect this season with the condensed schedule with every other team in the National Hockey League. So again, when we talk about it being condensed, when we talk about it being very busy in the month of January, and certainly after Four Nations Faceoff, that sprint to the finish, the end of February, March, and half of April, it's going to be very busy, it's going to be very intense, and it's going to be an absolute grind just to get to the postseason. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and your input. Until tomorrow, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.